Welcome in to another edition of Lauren na Páirce here on WLR. Tomás McCarthy to keep you company till 7 o'clock. Well, it's all Waterford versus Cork on this week's show. Former Taoiseach boss Michael Ryan is waiting on the line to preview Sunday's big hurling clash with the Rebels at Páirce Cuíve. Waterford Camogie manager Jerry Wallace will chat about their meeting with the ladies in red on Saturday. And later in the hour, we'll hear from Ryan chairman Padraig O'Hartig as part of our Diversity in Sport series. But first,
on the edge of the D, Shane Bennett, back from Australia, bang, oh, over the bar he goes, safety first. Is there enough time to get the equaliser? We're back to 1 point. The scoreboard says 116-20. Whatever way you dice it up, that means a 1 point lead for Brian Lowen's Clare. Puck out down now, right.
I think he'll be looking.
Quilligan is wasting time again, and the referee is conscious of that. There's one last play left. Will the play be good enough for Waterford?
Oh,
going high.
Catch.
Oh, brilliantly caught by Gerard Sheedy. He cut that ball. Referee blows his whistle. It's all over. It's all over. Clare win this National League game 20-116. Battling performance for Waterford. They'll be disappointed not to win the 2 points, but they'll be very pleased with the spirited performance with a very much understrength side.
So after that 1 point loss to Clare 2 weeks ago, the Waterford hurlers travelled to Super Value Páirce Cuíve to face Cork on Sunday. It will be our George Corbett scored a big match here on WLR. Kieran O'Connor and Owen Murphy in the commentary box, and our coverage starts at 3:30. Well, to preview this game, delighted to be joined on the line by former Taoiseach and Westmead manager Michael Ryan. Michael, Waterford coming into this one with 2 points from two league games to date. How would you sum up their campaign so far?
I suppose the first game was against Offaly away. And to be honest about it, people expect Waterford to beat a team like Offaly. I mean, I know that they're a team up and coming and they're doing a lot of work at underage level, but Waterford would expect to beat Offaly. I thought they played reasonably well in the first half of that game against the wind, but they seemed to struggle a bit in the third quarter when they were playing with the wind, and they more or less limped over the line. That certainly wasn't an impressive performance. I mean, the second half of that game, they wouldn't be happy with. And then, of course, the Clare game. And Clare game was a funny type of game down in Welsh Park. I mean, looking at the game, you'd think that Clare were a better team than Waterford, but yet when it came to it, it was only a couple of points. It was a real nail biting the finish. And if Waterford had nailed their freeze, they missed three frees in the closing minutes of the game. If they had scored that freeze, they could have won the game. So, you know, I don't think that their performance was that good on the day. I think there's a lot to prove from that point of view, but they could have won the game. And I thought, you know, Clare looked to be a decent team. So it's an iffy kind of a thing up to now, but you'd expect that for the first two games the most. But now, you know, the two games have been played and they've had another week to prepare, and you're into the third game against Cork. I mean, I think they'll be looking for a marked improvement right around the pitch for the full 70-75 minutes in this game.
And this is an important game for both counties, Michael. Waterford with 2 points, Cork with no points on the board. Like, defeat for either team would make it very difficult to finish in the top three and qualify for the new Division 1A. Like, in your view, how vital is it to play in that top tier for 2025?
I think it's very important for both teams. I think the league has taken on greater significance now than ever before. First of all, the proximity of the league to the championship. It's ideal prep for the championship. And, if you're trying to settle a team or trying to get a team organised and playing together, it's so important for that. It's really good match practice. And the other thing, of course, is there's a huge financial aspect in it as well, because you come next year, you have 7 teams in Division 1 of the league, that they'll be getting the crowds. And in the league, the money goes back to the counties from league competition. A large percentage goes back to the counties. They get nothing out of the championship. So, and we all know now how strapped the counties are for money, and from Waterford's point of view in particular. I know as we speak, I'm not sure if they ever have their sponsor or not. So every euro is important. So they'll be really fighting hard to get into the top division, because they'll know damn well the significance of it financially as well as from a playing point of view.
And like, how hard will Cork be fighting, Michael, because they'll be looking for a response after those defeats to both Clare and Kilkenny?
Cork again, I mean, the jury's very much out in Cork. I mean, on their day playing well, they can blow teams away, and they have some really talented players. But then the other side of Cork at times, they seem to struggle. You know, I'm not convinced about their full-back. They seem to struggle. They're a really good centre-back. Their centre-forward, full-forward, not really convinced about those guys as well. I mean, you go back to the first game against Clare. They played against the wind in the first half of that game and they did well. But Clare actually blew them away in the second half, and they were playing against the wind. So, you know, and Clare won that game convincingly. And then you go to the Kilkenny game a couple of weeks ago down in Cork, and they were absolutely atrocious in the first half of that game. I mean, for the first 25 minutes, they were terrible. They were blown out of the water. And yet with 12 minutes to go, they came back to level. They could have won that. So you saw the two sides of Cork, a really poor side first, and then a decent side after that. But I think, as I said before, the jury's out. I mean, a lot of those players have been played over the years, and I'm not so sure. Yeah, I mean, Conor Lehane has been around a long time since he was 18 years of age. He got on the Cork senior team, and there's a few more as well. They're depending on Patrick Hogan. He got 10 points the last day. And all those points, I think, came from frees. So, you know, they're struggling to get scores. Shane Kingston, again, some days he's really good. And other days, you know, he's struggling again. So you really wouldn't put your last shilling on some of those Cork fellas, you know. But having said that, you know, they beat us in the championship the last couple of years and they're playing at home. So I'm expecting a big, big performance from Cork. I think they'll be difficult to beat in this game.
Yeah, and Cork should be close to full strength, Michael, apart from Robbie O'Flynn, who's ruled out for the next 4 to 5 weeks. And, like, Waterford have a very long injury list, like nearly entire team up in the stand the last day, the likes of Conor Prunty, Ty De Bourc, Daisy Hutchinson, Jamie Barron, just to name a few. Like, how concerned would you be with that long injury list?
Well, I'd be very concerned. I mean, Stephen Bennett, he looked to be in a bit of trouble walk coming off the last day. And, you know, hamstring can take up to 6 weeks. And so hopefully it's not that bad. Jamie's had a terrible time with injuries the last couple of years as well. So he's been struggling. Conor Prunty's had a few knocks as well. So, but look, you know, from our point of view, from all of us' point of view, we need to get our players back on the field as soon as possible. And certainly we need a full deck for the last two games of the National League, because, I mean, our first two games in the championship at home. We need to win both of those games to have a realistic chance coming out of Munster. So for to do that, we need to prepare properly. And the only way to prepare properly is make sure that we have strong sides going out in those last two games in the National League and bed us in and get the game plan going, get the teamwork going, get everything else going, get to know one another's system of play and be ready for what is a massive test in the first round.
You mentioned Stephen Bennett there, Michael. Like, he limped off with a hamstring injury the last day against Clare, and, like, Waterford missed three place balls after he left the field in the second half. Who do you think will get the free-taking duties on this occasion?
Well, it's hard to know, Tomás. I mean, Patrick Curran has taken frees. Jack Brendigan seems to take a few frees. It's hard to know who's going to be on the frees, but whoever is on the frees has to nail him. I mean, at inter-county level, you need to be scoring 9 out of 10 frees. And if you look at the paper on a Monday morning after a match, you look at the Examiner or the Independent, and you look at the free-taking tally, usually the team that scores the most points from frees wins the match. Now, that's a two-way thing. It's not just about the frees. It's about to win frees, you have to be playing better as well. That has to be said as well. But, you know, you have to nail your frees. And if you don't nail your frees, you're in big trouble. And we've probably taken Stephen Bennett for granted over the years because he's been an exceptional free-taker. As has Pádraig Manny before, those two guys were capable of scoring 9 points out of 10 from frees. But not alone that, they could also score frees from 100 metres. They were long-range free-takers as well. So, you know, they usually got it right. So, whoever is on the frees, it's a big task. Now, Davey will have 2 weeks to prepare for that. And I not sure. There's very little coming out of the camp, which is good, and that's the way it should be as well. But if it's Patrick Corden, if it's Jack Prendergast, whoever is on him has got to nail the frees, otherwise we won't win the match.
In terms of fresh faces on the team this year, Michael, like, Sean Welch has grabbed his chance so far. 2 goals in 2 league games. Like, you've worked with him closely at club level in Foremile Water. What does he bring to the table?
Well, first of all, he gives you something different for Waterford because we have a lot of fast, pacey forwards. He's a big man. He can win his own ball. And, you know, he's done well in the last few games. And he did get a crucial goal for the under-21s a couple of years ago, under-20s a couple of years ago, but in Tullis as well. He bought a game against, extra time against Tipperary. He's a big lad and he's hard to handle. And he has lots of ability. And, you know, if he can kind of get his head right and he will give defenders problems. I mean, he took that goal very well. Everybody talks about the 12 steps he took, but, I mean, players are taking steps with 20 years and there's no talk about it. There's definitely something in him and he's something different. And, you know, he has a physical presence as well, as Michael Kiley has. So we have a lot of fast, nippy, quick forwards around the place. So there's certainly room for one or two big men. And hopefully he'll get his opportunity again on Sunday.
And another player who brings that physical presence is Mark Fitzgerald, Michael. And, like, we've seen how well he's performed with his college UL in the Fitzgibbon Cup so far this season. You've worked with him at under-20 level with Waterford. Where's his best position in your view?
Well, first of all, I think he can play anywhere from number 2 to number 7. And I just want to say, I think he's a Rolls Royce of a hurler. He's a really good lad. He's a really good hurler. He loves the physical. He's comfortable on the ball. He can take the ball out. It's probably where Waterford need him most. Ideally, I'd like to see him playing at wing back. Because I think there's a score or two in him as well. I like to see him going forward now. Maybe they can't afford to play him wing back, but he can play anywhere in the six defensive positions. He's brave. He's fearless. He's a really good hurler. He wins the ball very well. He's good in the air. He's a dogged guy. I mean, any fella who's playing on him will earn his corn. There's no question about that. So he's a top-notch guy. But if you were to ask me where I'd like to see him play, I'd probably like to see him play in a wing back.
And how do you see Sunday's game going, Michael?
I think it's going to be difficult for Waterford because Cork are going to be at full strength and close to full strength, and there's no indication yet about what Waterford team is going onto the field, but there certainly will be short some key players. There's no question about that. I think what is important for Waterford on Sunday is the performance. You know, we've got to produce a good performance and got to go down there and stand up to the challenge and hurl well and a bit of belief in ourselves and use the ball well and do all those things well and have a super work rate, because that's a given anyway. Unless you have that, you're not going to win matches. But, you know, Cork, you'd expect Cork to win the game, but, you know, you never know what Cork team is going to turn up. But I think they'll come out fighting on Sunday because they need to win this game more so than Waterford.
Just finally, Michael, I want to ask you about the big GAA story of the week. Former President Mary McAleese was in Croke Park to announce that the Camogie Association, the GAA and the LGFA plan to merge by 2027. What was your reaction to that news?
Well, look, I suppose it's inevitable it's going to happen. I'm not really convinced about it tomorrow, to be honest about it. And there's a lot of things in the GAA at the moment I'm not convinced about. I mean, you had a situation there a couple of weeks ago where there was a debate on the Allianz Sunday Sports Programme about the state of hurling and the way it's not being addressed. And I think the GAA have enough on their plate to sort out their own game at the moment. And I mean, to think there's no director of hurling appointed for a couple of years. Hurling badly needs help and badly needs to get their own act together. As the guys, ladies, football and Camogie, I'd be just a little concerned that maybe they're brushed away under the carpet, so to speak, and moved out of the way. The fact that there's going to be one president for the three associations, that would worry me. So I'm not absolutely convinced about it, but going back to the point I made a minute ago, there's a big job on hand for Gerald Burns coming in as president, because a lot of things have to be addressed. I mean, we're talking about professional managers getting paid, and even getting paid in clubs. I mean, if a club, in my opinion, if a club wants to give a manager a few quid to do a job, I mean, I don't even know, is that the business of the GAA? I mean, to be honest about it, and you have managers travelling. I mean, in Waterford's case, the manager is travelling. He's travelling 100 miles down to Waterford three or four times a week. That's a full-time job myself. There's no doubt about that. But the GAA have a lot bigger problems than worrying about a few managers getting a few quid. I mean, there are a lot of things they need to sort out. And just to go back to your original question, I am a little concerned about the whole thing because, ladies football, I can only speak for ladies football. I don't know anything about Camogie much, but Camogie's made great strides. There's no question about that. Ladies football has been doing fine, and they've done a really good job promoting the game. People like Helen O'Rourke and Pat Quill and those have done a really good job. So I'm just concerned now that the fact that they're part of the bigger association, will they be forgotten about, and maybe will they be brushed slightly under the carpet? So I think it is a concern.
Like you mentioned Gerald Burns there, Michael. Like, what issues would you like to see him address during his presidency?
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge the fact it's a very difficult job. But I'd like to think that when these 3 years are over, I mean, you had when Sean Kelly was the president, there were certain things happened when he was in. He put a stamp on it. And I'd like to think that, first of all, from a hurling point of view, Gerald Burns was a good footballer. You know, his football was everything to him. So it'll be interesting to see how he deals with the hurling questions. And hurling needs help. There's no question about it. Hurling needs help. And, right around the country, the game hasn't grown, say, in the last 40 or 50 years. I know some efforts have been made. And throwing money at it won't help it. Things like coaching and organisation, a good organisation, good structures, good coaching, the right people in the right jobs. That needs to be seriously addressed. And whether he'll be swallowed by the association or not, I don't know. I mean, will he be his own man? Will he have an agenda that's for the betterment of the association? I'm sure that he will try and do that. But will he be allowed to do it? That's the thing I wonder slightly about.
Well, former Waterford and Westmeath manager Michael Ryan, thanks a million for taking our call this evening.
You're welcome, Tomás.
Down into the corner, goal. Ball now, chance for the big man from 4 Mile Water. Sean Walsh rocks off one player, takes a shot. Oh, what a finish by the 4 Mile man. Oh, Oh, brilliant finish there by the 4 mile man. Cut that ball. One thing's on his mind. Tom Devine did it a couple of years ago, his first cousin. Now Sean Walsh says, I can do it as well. Davey, I'm a man to be reckoned with. Back of the net, great finish by Walsh.
Lorne Napoca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.